in Texas was 77 degrees. In St. Louis, it snowed. Who knows what it's doing in Chicago and Toronto and those places. Looks like some of the people that are with us this evening were not with us yesterday evening. Is that right? Yes. So, hopefully during this visit to St. Louis, I'll complete the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. It's been a three-part series stretching over several visits. The chapter is chapter 9. There's only one more chapter after this one in the whole narration of Prahlad and Bhada Shingadev and everything. Hiranyakashipu. This chapter is after the slaying of Hiranyakashipu and after the prayers of the demigods to pacify Bhada Shingadev. And Bhada Shingadev isn't pacified. The demigods then urge Brahma, particularly instructs Prahlad to go forward and offer his prayers. So it's his prayers, and then you'll see at the end, Bhada Shingadev replies to all of these wonderful prayers. So just, rather than review the whole chapter, we'll just review the three verses we covered yesterday. One of the verses that we covered yesterday includes a phrase that Srila Prabhupada would quote again and again and again and again. Can anybody remember that phrase? Let's see if it works. Maya Sukhaya Varam Udbahato Vibhudham. In short, just some appreciation of the Bhagavatam itself and how Srila Prabhupada would speak the Bhagavatam. There are certain phrases within the Bhagavatam that appear again and again and again and again. It's like a refrain. And it's an important message seen from different angles of vision. And you put all those different angles of vision together and you get a powerful message. So there are multiple such phrases without giving other examples. And then sometimes Srila Prabhupada would speak on all kinds of topics and then just take a phrase from some place in the Bhagavatam. And if you're not familiar with the Bhagavatam, you don't know where it is, but you hear him speak it again and again and again and again. It's like a sutra. It's a little phrase that carries a lot of meaning for our founder Acharya that opens up a whole big message from the whole message of the Bhagavatam. So this Maya Sukhaya civilization is something that Prabhupada would refer to again and again and again and again. And it was in that section that we discussed yesterday. Sukha is happiness, and Maya Sukha is illusory happiness. So it's not just, you know, Kali Yuga. It's the material creation, and Kali Yuga just amplifies the illusory nature of seeking happiness where there's no happiness. Seeking water in a desert. One may see a mirage. Our master of ceremonies wants us to move forward. One may see a mirage in the desert. By definition, a desert is a place where there's no water. One may see a mirage of a lake in a desert. There's no lake in a desert. There's no water in a desert. Desert is a place without water. But an animal or a foolish person may continue step by step by step going deeper into the desert to get the water because they're dying of thirst, and they die in the desert because there's no water, it's just a mirage. Similarly, the happiness that appears to the senses, bhoga, yehi, from Bhagavad Gita language, yehi means certainly, samsparsha ja bhoga, samsparsha ja means the senses contact the sense object, and it looks like bhoga, it looks like enjoyment. But instead, it's the opposite, dukkha. Dukkha yonaya evate. So, sukha and dukkha. The Prahlad is, there's two main elements in the verses that we discussed yesterday. Compassion and removing the veneer of the Maya Sukhaya civilization and showing its bare bones. It's the reality of it is it's nothing but misery. It appears to be. There's something that keeps people going in the material world, that's the sense of the senses contacting sense objects and the sense of happiness that's read by the conditioned mind as happiness, but it's simply misery. So he's lamenting, he's feeling sorry, better word, he's feeling sorry for that condition, that people are drawn to seeking happiness where there's no happiness and finding misery instead. So the compassion part is, he's requesting Lord Nrisimhadev to deliver all living entities, that's a lot of living entities, within this particular universe, because there's countless numbers of universes. He wants all living entities to be delivered. And he's not seeking the negative. He's not seeking his own salvation. He's speaking not very pleasingly about those who seek their own salvation and leave behind people that are miserable and suffering. Here's the phrase. Oops, where's the phrase? There it is. Vimoksha, vinimoksha eko na. I do not wish to be liberated alone. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of devotees' feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet. We saw this image. This is Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, who wrote some series of writings, Dushtamana, the mind that wants the adoration of the public, that just see, here's this renounced person going to solitary place and undergoing austerities and chanting like Haridas Thakur and the holy name, and how lauded is that person. Oh, wicked mind. Dushtamana. So that expression of his is the same as Prahlad's expression, which is, let me not, because he knows Lord Nrisimhadev is pleased with him. He knows Lord Nrisimhadev wants to offer a benediction. And he's, before he even gets the request, he's saying, no, thank you. But there is one thing. These unfortunate persons who are suffering in this material world, I wish that they can be delivered. And they're struggling very hard with the uncontrolled senses instead. So, here we go. Now we're... That's the little review from yesterday. Compassion and Maya Sukhaya civilization for persons who are in that situation. Now, he gets a little more graphic. The Maya Sukhaya civilization, that which appears to be Sukha, the number one item, not just in the human species, in all species, it's built in to the species that there's attraction between the male and female sector of society, so everything can go on. So then this is another phrase. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukhambi tucham. He used this word grihamedi a lot and used it as a contrast to the grihastha. Grihastha is wanted. Grihastha, situated in a griha, a home, where it's an ashram, it's a place where cultivation of spiritual value is at the center of the home. That's wanted. And the grihamedi is not wanted. That's where spiritual value is absent. And when spiritual value is absent, what takes its place by default? Sense gratification. And when sense gratification is the way of life, at the top of the attraction, just like with animals. So with animal-like humans, it's production of offspring, it's sex life, maitun. Yon maitun adi, beginning with maitun, griyamedi sukham hitucham. Sex life is compared to rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihasthas who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, there's this word dhira, and kripana, bahu dukha bhaja. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of the fools and rascals. So, it's hard to resist itching. But anybody that knows dermatology, you scratch an itch, it doesn't relieve the itch. It inflames the irritation on the skin. This is from Prabhupada's purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. And he makes the comparison to the camel. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood. And there's not much more to be explained. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing thorny twigs. The thorn the camel eats cuts the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns mix with fresh blood creates a taste for the foolish camel, and so he enjoys the thorn-eating business with false pleasure. I had the occasion one time when visiting Bits Palani in Rajasthan, just going for a japa walk one afternoon. There were some camels along the side of the road. And exactly as Prabhupada said so many times, there they were, with their tall neck reaching into a thorn tree and chewing on the thorns. And you could see the little blood dripping to the side of their mouth, and they were enjoying the taste of their own blood. They didn't go to camel school to learn that one. They just kind of knew how to do it. And similarly, the attraction for material enjoyment through sex life, it's insects and birds and fish and animals and all species of life. It's just, it's built in to the system of perpetuation of species. It's just an impetus. It's the mode of passion. And it's very strong. Very, very strong. So human life that goes beyond dvipada partial life, a two-legged animal life, is when one rises above that tendency. Here's a reference that Prabhupada makes in his purport to Jamunacharya. Probably everyone here knows who Jamunacharya is. Ramanujacharya's spiritual master. The one that he continued the line of disciplic succession from. And he wrote different writings that Śrīla Prabhupāda liked a lot. Many from the Śrī Sampradaya Prabhupāda liked. King Kulashekhar's writings. He made an endeavor to translate some of them. Anyway. Since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. So before Jamunacharya was Jamunacharya, he was a grahasta and he experienced that sensual pleasure. So from time to time the mind may go to such reminiscences or thoughts or contemplations, and because not just in a negative sense but in contrast to the spiritual ever new pleasure found in the transcendental living service of Krishna, in contrast it's abominable. Yamunacharya had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sensual happiness in various ways. But since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. If you're an acharya, you can do like that. You're not. It's imitation. So this is the next verse. We're just covering four verses. We covered 45. Here's 46. I didn't include the Sanskrit. Oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad prayers. There are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation. They're not listed in the verse, but Prabhupada lists them here. Here they are. 10 prescribed methods. Monavrata, to remain silent. To observe vows. To amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge. That's 3. To undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. So the main message is, of these 10 different methods for liberation, they're generally only for professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Now they're beneficial anyway. Beneficial in the sense that each of these 10 prescribed activities, they help diminish passion and increase goodness. Using a Bhagavatam phrase, they help make wet wood dry wood so it can ignite. It's beneficial. When I was in Houston and it was 77 degrees, there was a question in one evening class. Young man from Brazil, he knew a very old man, 91 years old, Christian, Catholic, who said, he was you know, he was, his light was going out. He was getting ready to leave his body. And people gathered around him concerned, and he was saying, I have no worries. I'm Christian. I have faith in Christ, and I'll go to heaven and I'll be with Christ. So I'm looking forward to it, basically. And the class that evening, we were discussing verses from chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajat ante kalevaram. Whatever the mind is fixed on, ante, at the end of life, that's the state you will attain. The mind carries the soul to its next destination. So his question was, is this man going to heaven? And he's going to be with Christ. And I gave a soft answer. But the notion, so there's benefit to think that way. Just like these, is the connection. These 10 things, there's benefit to do these 10 things. They're prescribed methods on the path of liberation. They're beneficial. It helps make dry wood wet, and wet wood dry, so it can ignite. The purpose is to ignite, not just to make dry wood. The purpose of a Christian having faith in Christ is to become freed from sin. Just like yesterday was Easter, so Christ died for our sins, and now we, by accepting Christ, we also become delivered from our sins. However, that doesn't mean now I can go on sinning, and it's okay because Christ died for our sins. He took a certificate. So, there was, in fact, I didn't read this, I hadn't seen the book, but somebody said there was one Christian minister that wrote a book saying, sin boldly. There's a biblical saying, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I'm weak, and I have urges of the flesh, and I yield to them. But although the spirit is willing, so the good news is Christ died for your sins, so he's taken a certificate, and go on and sin boldly because you got a certificate. Prabhupada says that's the most heinous mentality. It applies to us also. If the process of devotional service is such that sins and reaction to sins can be dissolved, like putting fuel into a fire, it just burns. One is freed from the reactions of one's past sins just by devotional service, just by chanting the holy name even once. But if one goes on committing sin thinking this is a good program, I commit sin, and at the end of the day, I chant Krishna's name just once, or a few times, that's nice too, and I'm now clean. That's offensive. And although one may call the name, Nama Prabhu is not there. The sound vibration is there, but Nama Prabhu is there. So similarly, with sinning on the strength of chanting, sinning on the strength of Christ died for my sins. It's a means of purification, for sure. But if the objective is not to make the dry wood then ignite, that is devotion to the personality of Godhead, this girl has her own mind, right? She knows what she wants. Whatever it is, that's what she gets. That's what she wants. Okay, so anyway. If one does these 10 things simply as a professional practice or means of livelihood and have not conquered their senses, that's the same Dushtamana example. I don't want liberation alone. Eka vimukta na. I don't want liberation alone. But somebody may do these activities for the purpose of name and fame, and they won't be effective, because when there's pride in the heart, then it destroys things that are good. So he's describing, Prahlad's describing, misfortune along with senses that are out of control. One who takes elevating activities but doesn't do them for the right purpose, they're not going to be effective. I had a... Where was it? In Ames, Iowa. One lady was asking, what's the best process of meditation? She really didn't want to hear. She just wanted to talk about herself, actually. She said, my latest meditation is I'm listening to the sounds of silence. I didn't ask her what's it like, because she volunteered. Said, I can actually hear some sounds, the sound of silence. Is that a good meditation? And I said, our whole topic this evening was about transcendental sound. And if whether it's mundane sound or sounds of silence, it's on the material platform. And so, better, meditation-wise, is spiritual sound. Because that sound from the transcendental region. There's material sound, there's the sound of silence, and there's spiritual sound. Spiritual sound is the best. She said, I think you're right. Or other forms of austerities and yoga asanas, that's an interesting one, with fire built all around. And other procedures that are beneficial. But even they're prescribed in the Vedas something. But if there's uncontrolled senses, lack of purity, and the heart is still impure, this is the result. We get pride. Let's do it this way. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Yes? Somebody may do something that's beneficial, fruits of piety. But if it hasn't at the same time made their heart pure, there'll be pride in the heart. Guaranteed. Pride, there's a saying, pride goeth before the fall. So that's what Prahlad is saying. Pride blurs one's vision to see Krishna. You can't see the actual objective if there's pride in the heart. That's a problem. So high-grade activities, activities that lead to liberation, they're good. But one has to see what's the purpose behind them. Otherwise, one's vision becomes blurred. Here's a meditator who's meditating on a candle. And any benefit that that person may get is limited and stays on the platform of the senses. But descending knowledge, descending sound vibration, because when we're calling the name of Krishna, this is a person chanting japa, by the way, when we're chanting the name of Krishna, that sound vibration descends directly from the spiritual world. And there's some reciprocation between us and the Supreme Lord. So this type of meditation is preferred, as opposed to the insentient, try to control the mind kind of meditation. We saw this image yesterday. The real purpose of human life is to attain liberation from material entanglement. That ultimate purpose must be known. Okay, so now we're just going to have two more verses. Oh, there's a little bit more. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful action with no possibility that they will revive. That's found in Canto 6 as well. There it is. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Niharam iva bhaskaram, in the Bhagavatam's language. Okay. A theme throughout Prahlad's prayers. He is Bhakta, Bhakta Prahlad, and he understands the virtue, the comparative superlative position of bhakti to any other process. So, kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana, the phrase in the sixth canto. If one simply engages in devotional service to the Lord, all 10 methods of liberation are automatically observed. Prahlad Maharaj's proposal is that such processes may be recommended for those who are ajitendriya, those who cannot conquer the senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. This is a definition of bhakti, by the way, from it being quoted here. Sarva upadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Upadi means designation, like I'm American, and some of you are Indian, and some of us are man, and some are female, and some are young, and some are old, and etc., etc., etc. Those are designations, those are upadis. Who we really are is we're spirit soul. We're spirit soul, part of the Supreme Soul. And that spirit soul, part of the Supreme Soul, has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul, one of love. In service, that's who we are. The one who becomes vimukta of all upadis, and engages in this devotional service process, nirmalam, one becomes cleansed of all contamination. So we don't require these 10 processes. There's austerity and there's other things of the 10 built within the bhakti process. But we do those things for Krishna. That's the meaning or the essence of the bhakti process. So we have just two more verses and we'll finish this section. I'm really determined during this visit to finish Prahlad's prayers. Okay. Krishna is the cause of all material causes and effects. Those that attended the Bhagavatam class this morning, we're reading from fifth canto, and Jada Bharat, previously Bharat Maharaj, now Jada Bharat, is giving lessons to the king, King Rahugana, and he was teaching this message here. Krishna is the cause of all material causes and effects. Here's the verse. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita also. Everything has its source of emanation. Krishna is that source of emanation, and so that everything has its non-difference from Krishna. What happened here? There we go. So here's some different images, like a tree. The root is the cause, and here's the effects up here, the branches and leaves and twigs. Over here there's grain, and then there's the pasta. And there's a weaver, he has threads, and over here is the effect of the cloth. Over here is the water, and there's the sun evaporating water, and then it comes down in the form of rain, cause and effect. But what's the cause of all those causes? Krishna. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord, and they're... This is an essential... We discussed it this morning. Shakti Parinamavad is the doctrine, the Vada, that's Vyasa's. In within all of the Vedas, that's what he teaches. Everything is but a parinama, means transformation, of energies of God. So there's God, there's his energies, and the energies transform according to his will or his sanction. And there isn't a third thing. Very simple. There's two things. There's God, and there's gods. And there isn't a third thing. There's no void in the creation of God. Void would mean there's something other than God, and there is no such thing as something other. There's only two things, God and that which is of him. So, cause and effect are nothing but the energies of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, this is Prahlad speaking in his prayer, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both cause and effect. Interesting metaphor. So, here's a table. And the table is made of wood. Probably there's some other things, shellac and other stuff, but wood and nails, but wood, wooden table. So before it was wood, it was a tree. And the tree stores fire. We know this from eighth grade science, that by the photosynthesis process, the light of the sun, stored by the leaves, photosynthesis, then there's fire in the tree. And then you cut the tree, make a table, and the table's not hot, but there's fire. It's stored. There's fire that's stored in the wood. Similarly, within everything of this world, there's causes and there are effects. We can't see the fire in the wood. We can't see Krishna, but Krishna's within everything. Just like the fire, this is the last part of this, the fire that's stored in the wood. I don't believe you. Prove it. Here's a flame, put it next to the wood, the fire comes out. Now, combustibility is another, your carbon can burn, and there's that kind of Western scientific picture. The Vedic picture is the fire that's stored in the wood comes out when you bring fire. Through association with fire, the stored fire comes out. Similarly, if we bring Krishna Bhakti, like that phrase before, Kevalya Bhaktya, we bring Krishna Bhakti to the material world, Krishna comes out. We can perceive, cognizantly, palpably perceive the presence of Krishna within everything. We can be happy anywhere, even in difficulty, because we know Krishna is there. And Krishna is kind. Last verse for this evening. Previously, in Prahlad's prayers, there were like three or four verses dealing with this non-difference, that's the Abheda. The relationship between all things with the source is, there's a oneness aspect. So this final verse, it's short. There's Lord Nrisimhadev in the farm community in the Bavarian forest of Germany. Yes. Very, very large deity. To get him installed, they had to bring a crane. And he ain't moving. He's there for a long time. And they're taking nice care, as you can see. the deity of Prahlad Nrisimha. So the translation, O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. This is the non-difference feature. You are the object of sense perception, the light airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego, the material elements and anything expressed either by words or by the mind are nothing but you. And that's the end. Now, one can say, and there are differences. That is to say, the energy is not the energetic. The sunshine is not the sun. Very obviously. We can say in the morning, the light comes into your room through the window. The sun is now in the room. If the sun was in the room, you'd have a problem. But the sun is present in the room through the sunshine. So the sun and the sunshine are not 100% identical. But there's a oneness aspect of the shine of the sun, and the sun are inseparable. So there's oneness. Now this oneness, I'll end with this statement, that this sense of the oneness of all things with the Supreme, it stimulates devotion. That is, I'm connected and everything's connected with the Supreme. How wonderful is my Lord? Like you know, the opulences of the Absolute. Chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. You see it, take something beautiful that you may see, the beauty of a sunset. Or maybe sometime you take a vacation. Don't too often take vacations, but sometimes you may take a vacation and go to some unspoiled part of nature. Go in the mountains, or go to Grand Canyon, or go somewhere where it's just all around you is just the beauty of nature. It's very awesome. And that beauty, natural beauty, that's an opulence of God. We asked Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada, when we see a sunset or the beauty of a rose, is it okay to appreciate? Prabhupada said, yes. And you should think, how wonderful is my Krishna? It's one of the ways of remembering him. Because he's there. It's a vibhuti of him. And the vibhuti doesn't exist except for him. That's this oneness inspires service. Because otherwise it's separate and then I can enjoy it separately because it doesn't belong to anybody. It's just for me to enjoy. The flower, that's something that's very fragrant and very beautiful one wants to offer to Krishna. And in sense gratification, one wants to offer to oneself or one's beloved. My girlfriend or boyfriend or someone. But when devotion is there, one wants to offer to God. It's fit for his enjoyment. It's his. Okay. So we're aiming to finish these prayers before I complete this visit. Let's hope I'm able to do so. It's 55 verses, and the next one is 49. So 48. We're going to finish. Okay. Any discussion? good?
Oh, yeah.
Microphone is on or no?
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Over here. Can you bring the microphone over here?
Regarding the metaphor that you use for the iron and the wheat.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Also, you mentioned earlier that the earth is dry wood and wheat wood.
Yeah.
So the fire says fire is bearing both
dry yes. and wheat
wood.
Correct.
But the wheat wood doesn't catch fire soon.
Yes, correct.
So is it correct understanding that humility stands there and everybody can't? But
yes.
We all are equally spiritually inclined.
Yes.
So why is that that we turn the wheat wood into dry wood so that we more spiritually inclined?
Say the question again. What are the procedures for making wet wood into dry wood?
Yeah, so what would be the
easiest way? You want the easiest way. That's fine. That's fine. Well, the easiest is direct. And the less easy is indirect. Prabhupada gives this example. Supposing someone says, my dear sir, please touch your nose. So there's this way. And then there's this way. You can also touch your nose indirectly, but it's not the easier way. This is the direct way. So the direct way, just taking one verse from Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharmam Puritya Mami Kam Sharanam. Mami Kam Sharanam. Or, you know the meaning, right? Mami Kam Sharanam. Just surrender to me alone. So then there's chapter 12, where the beginning of chapter 12, Arjuna is asking Krishna, which do you consider to be better? Which is part of the answer is it's easier. But worship of your impersonal, worship of your personal form. Very direct question, you get the very direct answer. Worship of my personal form is better. And there's two reasons. One is because the first one requires your effort, the second one requires your effort plus Krishna's help. So which is better? Your effort plus Krishna's help. Math is easy. And Krishna's powerful, so it's better. It's easier than your own effort, than your own effort plus Krishna's self. And the other is it's very natural. It's of the soul. The other is very unnatural. How do you fix your mind on something that has no qualities? It has no form. It has no name. Very difficult even to think such a thought, but to speak to fix your mind on such a thought of something that's formless, qualityless, nameless, activityless. Not to be found anywhere, but it's everywhere. It's like, it's baffling to the mind. The other is very natural, because it's who we are, it's of the soul. So, then when he does like that, then he says, so the best is two things. Mind fixed on me, intelligence absorbed in me. And if you can't do that, follow the regulations of bhakti. And you'll develop a desire and capacity to do that. Oh, but no, I don't know if I can do that. Okay, if you can't do that, then try to work for me. I don't object to working for you, but I don't know if I can be very consistent in working for you. What about, so? What's easiest is what's best. But we're lazy. And, distracted. And covered. You're conditioned by other tendencies. So, you can't do that. Try to be self-situated and be charitable. If you can't do that, You know, so there's options that go down the tree or down the ladder, but any one of those options, if they are joined with the chanting of the holy name, even a child can do. Even a person on the deathbed can do, and everybody in between can do. And it has absolute benefit. Even one doesn't have an understanding of even what absolute means. Even a simple person can call the name of God and become purified. So that's the easiest. And it's prescribed for this age. Not only would the Vedas to say it, there's that one devotee compiled a book that says, that illustrates where calling the name of God is found in all religions and all religious texts. It's universal principle, not a sectarian principle, or, you know, an us and them kind of an idea. It's a universal principle. There's a reason why it's meant for this age. It's the easiest. So that's like a beginning. And to help us, so I'm going to add three things to that one thing. Chanting of the holy name. Then, as the heart becomes cleansed, we need some direction. How do we live our lives? Do we turn left or right, or go straight, or what do we do? So, scripture is there to help us have intelligence how to move with the heart that's pure, move through the complications of life. And then we may need some guidance how to apply those things, so there's association with devotees. Very important. And last but not least is prasadam. Besides it's nice, it sanctifies the body. It purifies the body. And we have to eat. So there's two options according to Bhagavad Gita. Those who eat foods that are offered first to me, they sanctify their existence. Those that don't, verily they eat only sin. So there's four things. The easiest. Chant. Hear, read, message of scriptures from proper disciplic succession. Very important. Association of devotees. And be careful to take Krishna prasadam only. So that takes a little self-control to take only Krishna prasadam. But it's the easiest for making the wet wood into dry wood. Yeah. I'm counting on you if you have some questions. Here comes another one. It's on.
Yeah,
it's on. So, the first slide it was talking about the 10 prescribed ways to get the liberation.
Yeah.
So, you know, to follow the Varnashram Dharma and to observe some vows and to do some activities. So those are like kind of to be able to understand that. But the one which is the silent, being silent.
Yeah. What about it?
So is that to the person who live in a solitary place and do meditation?
Well, it can refer to the person in a solitary place who does meditation. It can refer to not speaking prajalpa. You speak spiritual sound, and that's mona, vrata. Speaking only spiritual sound is mona vrata. Just like we have japa retreats, mona vrata, we're making sound, maha mantra, mona vrata. Or here's another one. This is anecdotal, but one devotee I know, they decided that they wanted to try this mona vrata in work. So what they did was, they observed what's the time of day that's usually pretty quiet, and around 3:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, because the morning is busy, and then lunch, and then after lunch. And then it's kind of like they're just at their workstation doing what they do. So they made this attempt, unless it was necessary, something that had to be spoken, they just observed Mona Vrata between 3:30 and 4:30 in their office. And they had a lot of realization. One of them was the urge to speak is something they didn't realize that they had, the urge to speak so much. Just something, even while working. Then another is, it made the mind more powerful, just to observe Mona Vrata. Same as when we have our japa retreats, it's strength. From, you just don't speak something, unless it's really necessary. Your child has a problem or something, falling off a cliff, you can say something, but... otherwise, so we can observe Mona Vrata in that way, even contemporary life. Somebody recently, it was in the warm Houston weather, somebody was driving me from one place to another place and then back again. And they said, I was advised that you chant when we're riding in the car. And so I had to exercise a lot of constraint because I like to talk a lot. And I learned a lot just by not talking. I learned how my senses are out of control, and being in the mood of service is more satisfying than talking a lot. I learned a lot. So, we can observe Mona Vrata even in contemporary circumstances. But yes, that's what it refers to. And then they would take a chalkboard and, you know, write stuff down. The Chidi Prabhupada called it.
Yeah. It's an unnatural way.
Well, like when Vishwamitra sat down to do the yajna to Marijan Sabahu, he couldn't speak because he had Mona Vrata. Right? So that's an example. Mm-hmm. Yes?
And we often hear if your mathematical formula, proofs of piety, plus it's not working.
Not working, huh?
Proofs of piety.
Can we give that microphone back? Proofs of piety. Plus mind that's impure, heart that's impure.
Equals pride. It's not working.
It's working. It's working.
I was wondering, for one who has a pure heart, it doesn't matter whether they're fruits of piety.
That's correct.
Or impiety.
That's correct. That is to say, a pious person will have Jama, Aishwara, Shruta, and Shri. They can use that in Krishna's service. If they don't have any of those, they can use what they have in Krishna's service. And Krishna will accept from a squirrel, you know, whatever his effort is to serve Krishna, Ram. So, it doesn't matter. It's the heart that matters. And then one offers what everyone has. That's what. So piety have more, impiety have less. You offer what you have.
And yet, it is possible to have a pure heart,
yeah.
If there are past.
It's not just storybook. It's meant for us.
In a sense, you know, if you have fruits with impiety, you can still have a pure heart.
Yes. Yes. It gets dissolved. It gets that the fruits of impiety are bad karma, and karma is dissolved by bhakti, for the heart is pure. Yes. 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 Three yeses.
Our host and hostess, you're on it. Anything?
They're busy in the kitchen, looks like. Okay. Okay, we're done. Yes, you have something else?
May I ask another question? You were mentioning earlier that Nama Prabhu may not be present.
Vishwanath says like that.
So, Ramaraj, could you help me understand more about what is that experience like when Nama Prabhu is present? I'd like to know what it's like.
Your question is the topic of the next festival of the Holy Name. You can read, I think it's text 7 from Nectar of Instruction. It's Rupa Goswami's verse. And what's it like, and how to get there? A starter is abhinatam nama namino. The name is Krishna, and everything is within Krishna. The mercifulness of Krishna is within Krishna, and all of Krishna's potencies, and one experiences a happiness that's not material. And it's like the rising of the sun, it happens gradually. But that's the experience for a heart that is pure. The chanting of the Holy Name. Srila Prabhupada, please. I have just a short little opportunity for something like 20 years. I've been, during the Kartik month usually, visiting India, holy places in India. When we go to South India, we don't go to Kartik because it's a chance of rain in South India, so we go in January. But trips to South India, tours of visiting holy places in South India and other holy places in India is something that I've been doing as a service to the devotees that can go, and the devotees that can't go, there's a nice devotee from Hyderabad that very quietly and inobtrusively he's been making videos of those visits, and he got really inspired and got this really high resolution, very expensive camera to take videos of the two most recent Dwarka and Ayodhya yatras. And there was a big delay because it was such a high resolution camera that we couldn't circulate it, so we had to get a special software that compresses the file so you can see it and we can make it available. So finally they're available, and as I'm traveling around, I'm, for those that couldn't go to Dwarka or to Ayodhya, I'm making them available. There's three parts. There's the Katha, there's the Kirtan. The Kirtan is by a devotee who's part of the 24-hour Kirtan program in Vrindavan, Govinda. He's come here to St. Louis several times. Some of you know him. And the third is images of where we visited. each of the temples and the deities, and very, you know, good quality photographs. So I have copies of both Dwarka Yatra and Ayodhya Yatra. Afterwards, you can come and I can give you one or the other or both, right, as you wish. The flash drive itself plus the production cost is around $20 for each one. And if you like this, you can also assist with a donation for some service I'm doing for ISKCON that I can't do unless there's some donation. That's it. I've been doing this for several years, and so it's an opportunity I can give you something and you can help with some service that I'm doing, if you wish. So I'm going to give out some prasadam. I have three bags of prasadam. And then when I'm done, I'll be sitting here for a bit and you can come and I can give you. And if you don't have funds with you, that's not a problem. You can figure, we'll figure out a way. You can give, make some arrangement with Jamunajiva and then you can give it to him later. If you don't have, if you want to have that. So I can do some service, you can do some service, and we'll serve Krishna together then. Shiva Prabhupada, please.